So our lesson for the morning, good morning for all of you. I haven't seen you in a week or so, been out of town, but I'm glad to be back. Our lesson for the morning is numbering the children as we begin our study in the book of Numbers. Our text is Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of meeting, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families and their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, each male individually, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man from each tribe, each one the head of his father's house." God bless the reading of his word, and let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson in our walk through the Bible, let us reiterate our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, in the book of Numbers, Moses, at God's command, takes a census of the men of the nation of Israel. The first four chapters of the book of Numbers records the data produced by the census, and I've summarized it in the following chart. Of the 12 tribes of Israel that are fighting tribes, they take a census of the men between 20 and 50 years old. And you can see the counts there. Reuben, 46,500. Simeon, 59,300. Gad, 45,650. Judah, 74,600. Issachar, 54,400. Zebulun, 57,400. Ephraim, 40,500. Manasseh, 32,200. Benjamin, 35,400. Dan, 62,700. Asher, 41,500. And Naphtali, 53,400, for a total of 603,550 fighting men available for war. And then they take a census of the Levites, of which there are three families. The family of Gershon has 7,500 males over 1 year old, and men between 30 and 50 years old that can serve in the tabernacle are 2,750. Kohath, 8,300 males over 1 year old, although in some versions of the Bible it says 8,600. Over 30 to 50 is 2,630. And Merari is 6,200 males 1 month and older, with men over 30 years old, 3,200, for a total of 22,000 Levites, 8,580 who are able to serve in the tabernacle. Now, the initial census did not include the tribe of Levi. The Levites were not to fight, but were designated by God as the men who were given to the priests, Aaron and his sons, to carry and care for the articles of the tabernacle through the wilderness. Numbers chapter 1, verse 47 through 54 records, "But the Levites were not numbered among them by their father's tribe, for the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, Only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor take a census of them among the children of Israel. But you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, over all its furnishings, and over all things that belong to it. They shall carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They shall attend to it and camp around the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle is to go forward, the Levites shall take it down. When the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall set it up. The outsider who comes near shall be put to death. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, everyone by his own camp, everyone by his own standard, according to their armies. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. Thus the children of Israel did, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so they did. Now, the tabernacle itself was a wooden building, 45 feet long, 14 and a half feet wide, and 15 feet high. The altar upon which the animal sacrifices of the Israelites were offered was a 7.5 foot by 7.5 foot firebox, 4 feet high. And the courtyard containing the tabernacle and the altar was a curtained enclosure, 150 feet long by 75 feet high, with curtains 7.5 feet high. The tabernacle, the altar, and the courtyard, being portable, were constructed using components that could be put together for worship and then taken apart for transport. Consider a church with a membership of 603,550 men between 20 and 50 years of age, not counting boys, girls, old men, and women. This church of the wilderness needed 8,580 deacons, the Levites, to care for the physical plant. And now you have some idea of what Moses and the Israelites, under the direction of God, constructed in the wilderness. Now, before God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by the death of the firstborn, he told Moses in Exodus chapter 13, verse 11 through 16, "And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that opened the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' that you shall say to him, 'By strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that opened the womb, but the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt.'" Now, since the Israelites left Egypt and were headed into Canaan to begin tabernacle worship, God exchanged the Levites for the firstborn of Israel to administer the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 3, verse 40 through 49 tells us, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and above, and take the number of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all of the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the livestock of the children of Israel.' So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the children of Israel as the Lord commanded him. And all the firstborn males, according to the number of names from a month old and above, of those who were numbered of them, were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of their livestock. The Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And for the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one individually. You shall take them in the currency of the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs, and you shall give the money with which the excess number of them is redeemed to Aaron and his sons.' So Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above those who were redeemed by the Levites." Now, One of the things that the book of Numbers points out to us is that God was concerned about the details of the lives of the Israelites, so much so that he had Moses count each of them. God called Moses to number the tribes, and in so doing, God made sure that the number of the tribes was set apart to administer worship was made equal through the process of redeeming 273 men to the number of the firstborn that he claimed from the Exodus. It is important for us to understand that God has an individual plan for each of our lives and that he is interested in the details of what we do. You may think that God is too far away in heaven and has too much to do to be concerned about you, but that is not the testimony of the scriptures. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." God sees, God knows, and God cares about everything in his creation. When we feel far away from God, it is not because he has moved away from us, but that we have moved away from him. God was so concerned about the Israelites that he wanted Moses to know exactly how many men were available for battle and the maintenance of the worship facility that there were. Imagine how concerned Jesus is for his church in that he died for us, as John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, God chronicles the minutia of Israel in the book of Numbers and gives it to us to study so that we can be assured that he is as interested in our lives as he was in the lives of the Israelites. And God has not given up his detailed record keeping, as Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 tells us. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, as we will read as we continue our Old Testament study, many of the Israelites that rejected God died in the wilderness, even as those who reject God in our dispensation are promised the lake of fire. But even after the judgment, however, we will find that the tabernacle that the Israelites built in the wilderness is not to be the last tabernacle, but we who trust God and believe in Jesus Christ will enter into another tabernacle, into an analogous situation as the nation of Israel leaving Egypt and going into the promised land. As Leviticus 26:17 tells us, "I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look favorably on you and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies will eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. Now, God promises us a similar relationship on his new earth as members of the New Testament church in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, in which the Bible says, "And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, I hope that this analysis of the scripture makes it more clear to us as to why the Old Testament is in the Bible and why it is worthy of our study. The Old Testament is the prophecy of the New Testament, meaning we can see how God is going to deal with us in this dispensation by looking at how God dealt with the Israelites in the Old Testament dispensation. The full, perfect, and sufficient sacrificial death of Jesus Christ makes the ceremonies practiced in the Old Testament obsolete, so we do not have to repetitively sacrifice bulls and goats on the altar as they did. However, just as their repetitive animal sacrifices represented their repentance of sin, our allegiance to Jesus Christ and our participation in his church should represent the same repentance to us. Each Sunday, as we come to this place of worship, we ought to think back over what we have done during the last week, thank God for his continuing mercy, and apologize, either silently or audibly, to him for that which we have done that we know was not pleasing in his sight. Our sacrament of repentance does not involve the flesh and blood of animals, but the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 32 tells us, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, the most important element of our communion celebration is not our consumption of the elements, the bread and the grape juice, but it is our self-examination. We have the weekly opportunity to come before the throne of grace and find help for our personal situation. In order to receive the help that God has for us, we must repent of our sins and resolve to live our lives according to His instructions, much in the same way that we have to take the medicine that the doctor prescribes for us according to the doctor's instructions if we wish to receive the relief that the medicine is designed to give us. God is interested in our allegiance to Him, just as He was interested in the allegiance of the Israelites in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 tells us, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they might not defile the camps in the midst of which I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them outside of the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did." The Israelites examined themselves, and those who were defiled were put out of the camp. We try not to put people out of the camp, but we individually have the charge, as we have read in 1 Corinthians 11, verses, chapter 11, verse 27 and 28, to examine ourselves when we have defiled ourselves and to repent. The Israelites could be defiled by overt actions as well as physical situation, as Numbers chapter 5, verses 5 through 10 records. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, when a man or a woman commits any sin that men commit in unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged. But if the man has no relative to whom restitution may be made for the wrong, the restitution for the wrong must go to the Lord for the priest, in addition to the ram of atonement with which atonement is made for him. Every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring to the priest, shall be his, and every man's holy thing shall be his, whatever any man gives to the priest shall be his." Now the sinner has the responsibility to make full restitution against the one whom against whom he sinned with a 20% penalty. If restitution could not be made even to the person wronged or his next of kin, restitution was to be made to God through the office of the priests. Now, one of the attributes of salvation is the desire to correct the wrongs that you have done. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10 describes a man who gave evidence of salvation in this way. The Bible says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now Zacchaeus' sin was cheating people by collecting taxes from them that they really did not owe. Jesus Christ came into Zacchaeus' life to seek and to save him. Jesus' holiness convicted Zacchaeus of his sinfulness, and Zacchaeus gave evidence of his conviction of sin by his generous repentance. While we ought to confess our sins to the Lord, we ought also consider whether there is anyone that we need to see about making restitution for our sin. Once again, the Old Testament law is translated into New Testament terms. As we conclude our study for today, let us resolve this week to remember both the Old Testament law and the New Testament application. Let us also resolve not to just be Christians when we come to church on Sunday, but to live our lives daily, recognizing that the Lord is watching, that he is seeking to save us from the consequences of our evil actions, that we not be lost at the judgment. And let us resolve to behave in such a way that the Lord will be pleased with us. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for the wisdom that you have given us in the Old Testament and the application of that wisdom that you have given us in the New Testament. We thank you that we do not have to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats as they did in the wilderness, but that you have given us the sacrament of communion, where we can examine ourselves, determine what we have done that is not pleasing in your sight, repent of it as we sit, and make restitution as we go down from this place. We thank you for this place, Lord, and for the ceremonies that you have given us, that we might receive atonement with you in the sacrifice that we make, the sacrifice of communion that we take here every Sunday. And now, Lord, we thank you for all who are in the house. We ask you that you give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place, and bring us back to this place at the appointed time, that we might worship you once again and listen to your word and grow from the sharing. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for the lesson and for the spirited discussion and for the issues that have been raised here. Help us, Lord, to have the good information that we need, that we might be able to present the truth of the gospel in such a way that makes it plain and clear to all who are interested in it. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to give inquiring minds questions so that we can answer all of their doubts and that we can give them a good reason to believe in your goodness, your mercy, and your grace as you died for our sins on the cross. Now, Lord, we're praying this morning for those who Paul is concerned about, for Rick. We're praying that his training is going well and that he is still safe from all hurt, harm, and danger overseas. Praying for Carlos and Courtney, for Brian and Nikki Owens, and we thank you that Sean's mother is doing excellently well. And we ask you that you would continue to complete the healing of her body, that she might have a glorious testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Now, Lord, we're praying for those that Sister Allen is asking us to pray for Brian and William and Arnold and Seneca and Takika. We ask you that you bless all of them in whatever situation they may happen to be. Praying also for Sister Alice Harris and for Brother Brian. We thank you, Lord, that Brother Hersey and Sister Artis are doing better, that they have recovered in large degree from their various illnesses. And we ask you, Lord, that you would keep them on the road to recovery, that they might receive their full strength back, and that they might come with a glorious testimony of what you have done for them. We thank you that Brother Willie Allen is here today, and that things are getting better for him, got a new job, and things are coming around. So we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to go with him and stand by him, bless him in all that he does, keep him safe from hurt, harm, and danger as well. Praying for Grace Pendleton and for Julia Williams as well. We thank you that the story is picking up. And we ask you, Lord, that as the Easter season approaches and folks start looking for those frilly dresses and for the little girls and for those suits for the boys, that they would think of Jamisha's and go over there and pick them up and help their economy to improve. Praying also for Brother Budden and Mrs. Elston. We're glad she's out of the hospital and is happy to be home. And we ask you, Lord, that you would look in on Sister Jean Peters this week as she is going under the knife. And we ask you that you would arrest that cancer that appears to be in her body and let it not spread as she undergoes that procedure this week. Well, we thank you for the McClures, for Janelle coming home for spring break. We thank you for that, that she is enjoying in St. Louis. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help her as she is looking for something gainful to do this summer, that you would give her something that would meet with the desires of her heart, that she might maybe even be able to work in the field that she has chosen. We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to uplift JJ and bless his shoulder as he's recovering from an injury on that end, and give him full mobility and ability that he might be able to go back and do those things that he loves to do. And we pray for those parents, Brother and Sister McClure, that are raising those children. Help them, Lord, to train them in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they will not depart from it. Give them that which they need to keep everything going well, and to give their children a great example by which they can live. And we thank you, ask you for traveling mercies for them as they go up and down the dangerous highway. Praying for Brother Suber and Sister Parks, for Brother Julius Smith and Sister Frieda Durham, and we ask that you bless Darius out on the East Coast, and that you let him have a great school year as well, and bring him back home to his parents at the appointed time. We're praying for Sister Winston as she may have to go into the hospital and have her shoulder operated on. Lord, we know that you have control of all that the doctors do, and because of your resurrection from the dead, we know that you hold the issues of life and death in your hand. And we ask you, Lord, that you would intercede with those that are working on her. If it is your will, make the surgery unnecessary. And if she has to have it, Lord, we ask you that you would be with the doctor, give him uncommon skill, give him unknowing power, that he might be able to perform the surgery and do it better than even he thinks he can. Praying also for Brother Winston and for Sister Donna Powell as well. For Sister Lynn, we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to be with her as she is, as we're waiting to find out what her condition is as it pertains to her cancer. And we know that you can deal in that situation, and we ask you to do so as well. Now we're praying, Lord, for Brother Rodriguez and his family, for Brother Tyson and his new family, for we ask you that you bless his marriage and allow his new family to coalesce around his leadership. We just ask you that you would bless him in all that he does. Praying for Mother Z as she is undergoing surgery for the carpal tunnel condition. And we ask you, Lord, that you would give her healing in our hands as well. For Mother Versa, and we ask you, Lord, that you would go with Paul, stand by him as he travels up and down the dangerous highway. Give him technical skill as he goes into the various places of business where he has to go. And that you would give him the solutions that the folk are looking for, that they might continue to employ him and his company, that they might be able to grow their business. Praying for Sister Johnny Mae Wills and Brother Marion Smith, we ask you, Lord, that you bless him. Also, Sister Brenda Carr, for Evangelist Betty Carter Cooney, for Brother George and Brother and Sister Conroy, for Sister Wills. We ask you, Lord, that you look in on Sister Hudson, wherever she may happen to be, that you would allow her to recover from the bronchial problem that she had and come back to be with us once again. We thank you for the recovery of Brother Miguel. His wife is thanking you for that which you have done for him. Praying for our Naomi, Lord, and we ask you that you would continue to bless her in Chicago, keep her and Dad safe down there, and just allow them to continue to enjoy their time in these their senior days. Praying for my brother on the East Coast, and I ask you, Lord, that you'd bless him as he deals with those children at college. Give him words to say that will provide them with the learning and the discipline that they need, that as they leave his tutelage, that they will be able to make it well in the workaday world. And we pray for the Perkins in Louisiana and all that they have asked us to pray for. We ask that you'd bless all these marriages and keep them strong and keep them together. Also pray for Brother Jay Northern and his wife and his young family. We thank you that they were able to dispose of their house in New Orleans, that you blessed them to sell a house in a place where houses are not selling. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would continue to uplift his family as they have moved to Houston. Also praying for Brother David Sifford, who's on his way to be a chaplain in Iraq. Give him not only the best of your word, that he might be able to comfort the troops when they come to him with a spiritual problem, but also give him traveling mercies and keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger as he travels in that dangerous part of the world. Praying for the Fullers as well, for their store, for Sister Morgan, for the Beards as well. We ask that you bless in their situation, praying for Brother and Sister Webb as well. And we ask that you would bless Sister Mazella Webb, who is going to consult a physician in Little Rock this week. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help that man to have good news, that you would give him the diagnostic skill that he might be able to pinpoint a problem that can be fixed quickly. And we just ask you that you would give her strength in her body, that she might have a glorious testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And we pray for Andre Blair and for Kenqua, for Brother Mathis, for Sister LaShika Davis, and for Brother Terry Lewis, and for Sister Lisa Jordan. We ask you that you bless her in her pregnancy as she is older than many that are in that condition, and she has a possibility of complications. But we know that you're a doctor that's never lost a patient, and you can oversee that situation and bring the baby to term safely. And we pray for Dr. Allen, his organization, and all that he and his wife are doing. We ask you to give them traveling mercies as they travel around the state promoting their cause. We pray for Brother Alexander Flanagan, who's recovering from his leg. We also pray for his mother and for Deanna, which is a young lady who's on her mind. And we ask you that you bless that young lady as she is trying to find her way. But we ask you that you put someone in her path that can introduce her to you and give her a path to walk on that would be consistent with that which you would have us to do. And we pray, Lord, for Brother Sister Cheryl Potts, for Sister Dionysia. We thank you for Sister Frazier. And we continue to pray for her, Sister Lilla Simpson, Brother and Sister Price, Brother Archie Peterson, and for Brother Lewis Crawford. We ask you to bless all in those bless all that they have in their situations as well. For the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for all those who are victims of the hurricanes of last year and the relief workers that are helping them to bring their lives back to normalcy. Also pray for those in the armed forces here and overseas, wherever they may happen to be. Keep them safe from the bombs and the bullets and the guns, and bring them home to their families safely after their tour of duty is completed. And we also pray for the young men and women in our neighborhood, for the salvation of our family and friends. And we ask you to bless this place that you have given us here. Help us to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Give us stimulating and interesting things to discuss, and help us, Lord, to be able to put out the word in such a way that someone listening might believe it, that they might come crying, "What must I do to be saved?" And now, Lord, we thank you for all that we have done. I thank you for my wife, who's the love of my life, and I ask you to continue to bless her as we walk arm in arm down the road. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, and thank God, and praise God. Out on a hill called Calvary, Jesus Christ died that our sins might be forgiven. As we contemplate what he did for us, let us consider our own situations. Let us repent of that which we know that we have done wrong and resolve to correct the situation as soon as we can. Let us remember that the Lord loves us, has a wonderful plan for our lives, and has given us the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that those sins, though they be many, might be forgiven. Let us remember what Jesus Christ did in his sacrifice on the cross, and let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. Now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest with and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.